Hey, this is Michael Hutchinson, and you're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
And welcome to episode 32 of the Front Row Broadcast. I'm your host, Don Ross, and I'm here with Tyler Briggs. Welcome back to the broadcast.
It's getting to the point where I might be your most frequent guest, hey, other than Steven.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me back, Don. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, Steven can't make it tonight, so.
Yeah. We'll have to do what we can. We're a little shorthanded tonight. We'll see how the penalty kill goes. We're just two men, but hopefully we can give the fans what they want.
Yes, we're the best two looking ones anyhow.
You know what? I'm not going to go out and agree with you, but I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah. So, and I'll probably get a text that later. So about.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're going to hear about that one.
And so what's your thoughts on the big trade between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah, man, it almost feels like we're weighing in on this a little bit late just because of logistical issues with the trade. Luckily, we haven't seen Dubois with the Jets. I shouldn't say luckily, but we haven't even seen Dubois with the Jets yet. But Roslovic has snuck in a couple games with the Blue Jackets already. Yeah. He's looking... Well, at least statistical-wise, I haven't watched the Blue Jackets play at all, but he's, what does he have, 4 points in six games or 4-5 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and who would have thought in a trade of the magnitude of this one with Laine going to Columbus and Dubois going the other way, the player that I'm talking about first is Jack Roslovic.
Yeah.
So with Roslovic, he never really had... Go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, Roslovic, he was behind a lot of good players, so he never got a chance up here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and he never really got a chance to play. He didn't play a lot of center with the Jets either, right? Like you being a Manitoba Moose fan and a season ticket holder, you've seen Roslovic right from when he first got here, so you kind of got to see the evolution of the player. Are you surprised that he's getting an opportunity in the number one center hole with Columbus? Or
that's the thing, like up here with the Jets, he probably got like the third line center, and he had like behind Scheifele and Stastny whoever the Brian
Little Bill. Even
yeah. So it's like he's like the fourth line guy kind of thing, right? So it's like. Where down in the Moose, he was like number one center, and he got a lot more playing time. So that's the thing. Compared to NHL, AHL, he got traded to somewhere he can be a number one, number two guy.
Yeah, like Columbus kind of had that opening, right?
Yeah.
And so really happy that he's getting an opportunity because Roslovic is quite a talented player. With the Jets losing Laine, and we've seen over the last few games that obviously the Jets haven't really felt the loss of Laine. I mean, the power play has been clicking. The team looks fine. I mean, Ehlers is playing out of his mind now. He looks phenomenal. Like, this is the top line player that we drafted, I guess, now 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And then... you've got Ehlers is going, like the whole team, the team looks great. And Dubois isn't even, I think he's here now. I think he's here in Winnipeg. So
yeah,
really, really excited to see where he slots in with the way the Lions have been playing, with exception of Blake Wheeler getting a little bit of criticism lately. The team overall has looked pretty good in my opinion and has rattled off a couple of wins against a really, really good Calgary team. So we're really going to get a chance to see how Dubois slots in here, and I can't wait to see what we get from such a good strong player who, in my opinion, I mean, we trade a player like Patrick Laine, you're gonna miss his offense, you're gonna miss the highlight reel goals and things like that, but you're adding Dubois, who's essentially another Mark Scheifele, almost, I don't want to say on a Canadian Olympic level, but I mean, Dubois is definitely I mean, if he has a good season this year, he's definitely going to be in the conversation come next year. So to add a player like that to either slot ahead of Scheifele or right behind him, kind of that 1A, 1B punch down the middle, I mean, that they might, coupled with Stastny, add in Lowry, I mean, you're looking at some of the best centers, the group of centers in the Western Conference, if not the NHL.
Yeah, and I don't know, is Dubois more a rounded player than Laine, in my opinion? And
oh, yeah. A well-rounded player. I mean, he was drafted right after Laine in 2016, right? I think he was the third overall pick.
Yeah, he is.
Kekalainen kind of surprised a lot of people going with Dubois over Puljujärvi, right?
Yeah.
So Kekalainen kind of, I mean, he's a Finnish guy, and at least from what I had heard from him talking was that he's known Laine since he was just a young player. And so he was a guy that, at least I was listening to that 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick there.
Okay.
And they interviewed Kekalainen, and he said how badly that they wanted to trade up to try and draft Laine second, but the Jets wouldn't budge, right? So Columbus gets a player that they really, really coveted, at least by the sounds of things. And then Winnipeg, I mean, like you were saying, a well-rounded player. I mean, Dubois is, oh, like I'm just gushing over the fact that we've got a player like him. We lose the highlight reel goal scorer, and I think I said that already, but as we've seen in the past with teams like Chicago, you know, they always had the 1-2 punch down the middle with Taves and whoever else they'd bring in. I know Dave Bolin for a little while was one of those players, and Michael Hanzus, and then, I mean, Columbus with Jeff Carter and Anze Kopitar. Not Columbus, sorry, Los Angeles. And then the Penguins with Malkin and Crosby and even Jordan Staal back in 2009. So, I mean, it's pretty clear that teams with elite centers usually go the distance in the end. And the Jets have set themselves up nicely as long as their defense and goaltending holds up, which actually hasn't looked that bad this year so far.
Yeah, so I was like, do you think back in 2016, do you think Winnipeg should have drafted Dubois over Laine?
Well, I think, I mean, at the time, Laine, I think it was right before MVP, or maybe that was a year later. I can't remember the timeline. But I think Laine was, by some scouts, I think they saw him right in line. I know some of them had him ranked higher than even Austin Matthews at the time. So I don't think the Jets made a mistake drafting Laine first. I think, you know, when players are that good, it's kind of hard to kind of switch them around, right? But yeah, I know, I think they drafted the right player, and Laine enjoyed four really strong, well, maybe not really strong seasons, but he enjoyed a couple really strong seasons with the Jets. And I know you've been critical of his play in the past, which, I mean, I've always said, and I think I said this on the podcast a couple of years ago when we were talking, I always said that if Laine had, like, the demeanor of Nikolaj Ehlers, you know, with the smile, you know, Ehlers just looks like he loves the game, right? Whereas Laine just kind of, like, he's got that look on his face like he doesn't really care, you know, half the time. And I'm sure he does. I mean, he's a competitive player, and he wouldn't score the goals that he does if he wasn't a competitor. But, I mean, I always thought if he, you know, if he looked like he gave, you know, gave a care out there, then things might have been different here in Winnipeg, and we might have had our Solani, right? You know, but it wasn't to be. And luckily, the Jets have the winger depth in players like Connor and Ehlers to kind of offset the loss of Laine, and then you've got the emergence of players like Mason Appleton this year chipping in. Mason Appleton essentially looks like Jack Roslovic, if not better, this year. So that's been a really nice surprise for me this season.
Yeah, and yeah, it's different. What do you call Dubas Doobie?
sorry. Would I call him by his nickname?
Yeah, by his nickname, Doobie.
Oh, Doobie. Yeah, I think that's a great nickname. I think that nickname will go over well with a lot of people here in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Who may have smoked a few doobies or two.
Yeah. So, yeah. Apparently he spent his off season here for a little bit, so. And he liked
it. That's an exciting thing too, hey? Like, I mean, his dad's the coach with the Manitoba Moose, and I guess from what I had read, that at the beginning of the pandemic, he and his sister came to Winnipeg for, I think it was 5 weeks, to spend with the parents here. And so Dubois got a chance to see what Winnipeg was like. I read that he had rented a bike and went for rides in Assiniboine Park and stuff like that. So it sounds like he's really taken the time to, enjoy the city. And it sounds like a guy, at least by the interviews and stuff like that, that is really willing to give Winnipeg a shot. And family means a lot to him. And with his dad here coaching the Moose, I think it's a great setup. And that's not the only father-son duo with the Jets organization now, with Dave Lowry coaching the Jets as well. So yeah, that's kind of cool.
And then I'm not sure how much longer Dubas has on his contract. Do you think after it's up, do you think he will sign long-term?
Well, I believe, if I'm not wrong, I don't know if he signed for $5 million, but I know he signed really, really late this offseason. He signed a 2-year deal. So we've got 2 years of him, and he'll still be an RFA at the end. So two years is plenty of time, I think, for him to get established and really see. I mean, the Jets championship window still seems like it's open a little bit, you know? Like, I feel like it's a trade that kind of propels them, you know, back. I don't want to say back to the top, because, I mean, you lose a player like Laine, but at least in my experiences, like, those elite wingers, those guys aren't usually, like, those elite goal scorers, like a guy like Ilya Kovalchuk or, say, Danny Heatley, another one. Those guys aren't usually the guys that win you the championships. It's those grindy centers like Kopitar and Taves and stuff like that. And if Dubois can, you know, carve out, you know, a career here in Winnipeg, much like those guys have where they have played in their respective cities. Like, I don't know. I see this trade as a huge win for Winnipeg.
Yeah, me too. So
yeah, good. No, I'm really, really excited. He's wearing number 13 too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so I think he wanted an 18, but Little has it right now, so.
Yeah.
And seeing what's up with Little and so if Little decides to retire or part ways, anyhow.
Exactly. He's still under contract for a little while, but I mean, his health is, number one right now.
So if that happened, he leaves, he'd probably say, oh, I want 18 now, right?
Right. Can you, just off the top of my head, it's just kind of like came to me as a light bulb moment here. But so with Patrick Laine leaving, I know you're very, very critical of him at times, but rightfully so. His play seemed kind of lackluster sometimes and looked like he could be given a little bit more of an effort out there, but whatever. Do you have any like really fond memories or moments that you remember of Laine specifically?
There's one video on YouTube where they were talking about with Laine, and there's Ehlers in the background. They're in the dressing room, and Ehlers is around, and he beaked Ehlers about something, and he goes, "Yeah, right." You know, so he's better. It's like he was better than him, something. Yeah, right. Or something.
Yeah, it seemed like those two had a really good relationship. There was I think it was after with the first game this year. I think Laine called Ehlers a pigeon in one of his interviews. So he seemed like a guy that had a pretty good sense of humor, and those two had a good relationship. For me, I just remember that first game against Toronto when Laine was drafted, the original Laine versus Matthews game when
Matthews
had that breakaway in overtime, and I think I'm trying to remember who the Jets goalie was, but he made the save, and it wasn't Hellebuck. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Al Montoya?
Oh, it might have been Montoya. I don't know. I'm trying to remember, but he makes a save, and then the puck goes back the other way, and Laine rips a breakaway goal with Matthews on the ice, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, Laine's better, right?
All right, because we had Montoya, we had Hutchinson, we had
I think it was Hutch that made the save.
Okay.
Because I remember Jim Houston, saved by Hutchinson. Uh-huh. Laine the other way. Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah. So, yeah, no, crazy trade. Crazy trade to start the year. I'm really looking forward to Dubois making his debut this week.
Do you know any players that were number 32?
Number 32. Oh, right, because it's episode 32, right?
Yes.
Off the top of my head, Kelly Rudy wore 32. And if I were to, really dig deep. Oh, 32, man. That's a tough one. There hasn't really even been that many goalies who've worn 32. Jonathan Quick, another. No, is he 32?
Yeah.
On the Kings as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there's another one. Jonathan Quick. I can't really think of too many other ones.
No. No big names anyhow.
No, definitely no big names. But yeah, those are the first two that come to mind. Kelly Rudy and Jonathan Quick. So yeah, you sprung that on me. I didn't think I was going to get one, but the old Briggsy's on the ball here. So
yeah,
so there you go. I got you two.
So we're just going to take a little break for a brief message.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaleprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
And welcome back. And what do you think about the Super Bowl tomorrow between Kansas City and Tampa Bay?
Well, first off, Kansas City's in it for the second year in a row, I believe.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Buccaneers, who've kind of come out of nowhere with a guy by the name of TB12 at the helm. Pretty cool story. I'm kind of always been a Tampa Bay Bucs fan, but they've been pretty bad for a long time. I used to be a fan of Mike Allstott, the Fridge. He was their running back, and or maybe a fullback, I can't remember, but he used to just crush guys into the end zone. He was awesome. And Warwick Dunn was a running back, I believe. I'm probably wrong, and listeners will just be cringing at me here, but I'm not the biggest football fan. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is really happy to see Tampa Bay in the big game. They're at home, which is huge. They're playing at Raymond James Stadium. I mean, obviously not in front of a full crowd, I don't believe so. But at the same time, very, very cool to see the host team playing at home. Or the host stadium getting their team. Because I can't remember last time that happened. Maybe it's happened recently, but I just don't recall. So you kind of have a passing of the torch of... What's that, sorry?
That's Tom Brady. This is his 10th Super Bowl.
10 Super Bowls. Is that good?
Yes. 10. So.
Yeah. What's his record in Super Bowls? Is he 5-4?
6-9. Wait, he's like 6.
He's 6-3?
No, yeah, 6-3. Because he, out of the 9 Super Bowls, he won 6 of them.
Holy. Wow. Out of that's
9,
not bad.
9 appearances, he has 6 wins.
Wow.
6-3.
He's got enough rings for one on each finger and one for somewhere else.
Well, if you go back to Guy Lafleur, he has 12 Stanley Cups.
Oh, jeez. That's crazy. Yeah, it's really, really cool to see, Tom Brady back in the big game, playing for a different team. Quite strange, but I guess the story is going to be the old man can, keep the throne for one more season, and then, or will he be passing the torch to arguably the next Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, who is the stud quarterback for Kansas City. Okay. Kansas City's kind of got that unstoppable defense, too. I do know that. I know a couple things. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a really, really tight game, really, really close right down to the wire, and I can't wait to watch it. Well, I mean, I probably won't be watching the whole thing, but I'll definitely be tuning in. So how about you? What are your thoughts?
I think Tampa Bay and like everyone kind of hates on Tom Brady, and then he has Gronk there too with
him. Of course, because he's awesome.
Awesome, right? Yeah. So I was like, and where you have Kansas City with Mahomes and everyone, and I don't mind Mahomes' paycheck of 10 years at like $50 million a year he gets.
Holy smokes.
So I don't, oh man, it's like they, I guess Kansas City's kind of putting the money behind Mahomes for the next 10 years.
I heard that he did he not get a concussion in one of the playoff games? I think he got hurt and then the backup came in and won one of the games.
I can't recall.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat that they've found their way in the big game for the second straight year. They're kind of that, if they win this game, they're kind of the next great dynasty, really. So Mahomes is quite young, is he not?
Yeah, he's like mid-20s, I think.
Yeah, he's not very old. So, I mean, Kansas City reels off a win against Tom Brady. It's going to be a real passing of the torch, I think, from one great to another. So, yeah, excited to see how that ends up.
I think this is like Mahomes' only second year in the league, so.
That's crazy.
And make it to back-to-back Super Bowls, that's like amazing.
That's not bad. I mean, considering all I do is take the Browns to the Super Bowl, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, everyone takes the Browns to the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, that's right.
And like Riley, he's a big Bengals fan, so he probably like it.
What's that?
Ryan Lawrence, he's a big bang.
Oh, fan. Yeah. Shout out. Yeah, that's right.
And so I think I made a joke to him. The only reason the Browns are around are for the Bengals fans to make fun of.
Totally.
And he's like,
when was that actually? Well, now, because Cleveland's played a playoff game, because I think they played this year, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
When was the last time the Bengals played in a playoff game?
It's been a while, I think. Never.
I was going to say, it's been a long time.
Yeah, so. Riley.
What is a Brown? What is a Brown? Like a Cleveland Brown? Like, what is it? Is it like a dog? Like, what is it?
I have no idea. I don't really follow NFL that much. So, I know a Bengals a tagger, so.
Yeah, I mean, pro tip for me, I mean, if you're going to call yourself the Browns, at least pick a cooler logo so that like kids can like fall in love with your team. Like, come on, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like your logo is an orange helmet. And you're called the Browns. Come on.
Like Drew Carey, he thinks Cleveland rocks, so.
He thinks they rock. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't really know what else to say other than get a damn logo, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Maybe things will turn around.
That's the thing, like sports teams, like kind of like the Cincinnati Reds, the Cleveland Browns, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like, why are you adding colors? Like, name every team after colors, or
like. Well, I mean, the Reds. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess baseball is a little more old school, but like the Cleveland Browns. Like, I mean, maybe it's just the color. It's just not that exciting, like the Browns. And I mean, it's a joke. Anytime anybody goes to the bathroom, I'm taking the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe they should have been the Brown Jackets or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the state of Ohio.
Come on, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Next question.
So, you know what? On the episode of the Drew Carey Show, one of the cast members wore a Columbus Blue Jackets jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of like on Seinfeld when the guy dressed up in the devil's costume there.
Yeah.
David Putty.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other TV shows, like sports teams, like an NHL team made it into the show. Oh, there's a one with, what's his name? I had on my podcast, Brian Propp. His jersey made it into a TV show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, at least off the top of my head, hockey-wise, Happy Gilmore with the Boston Bruins jersey.
Yeah.
So there's one. And then Wayne's World with Chicago Blackhawks, right?
Yeah.
So there's another one off the top of my head, and I can't remember if there's, like, a...
And then there's
to remember Big Daddy.
There's that Minnesota Moose jersey in the Ducks movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's one. Or yeah, the Minnesota Moose is in
Happy Gilmore too.
Happy Gilmore, right? Because yeah. They're skating in the arena.
Yeah.
At center ice when he kisses her.
Yeah.
And right. Very too. Good. Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, I can't really think of any other ones off the top of my head.
Oh, I'm talking about...
But I'm also not the guy to ask for that because I'm not exactly a movie buff.
For Happy Gilmore, you know when Happy Gilmore fights Bob Barker?
Yeah.
I have those Franco Pops, and it's a two-pack, and it's Happy Gilmore facing Bob Barker.
No, no way. Like the Funko Pops or whatever?
Yeah, it's... A two pack.
Oh, that's
fun. Yeah, it's like I saw on Amazon and I was like, okay, I have to get that because.
That's a good one. God, I just hate that Bob Barker.
And it's like, you're going to die, no, clown. You see, he's at the
mini. Oh, man. So I'm at that. I probably quote that movie every day of my life, honestly.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good one.
So, if you have to protect a score in the Super Bowl tomorrow, what will it be?
If I got to predict the score, I'm going to go with, I think the Bucks are going to win it. I think it's going to be 21-14. I think it's going to be the score.
Yes.
How about you?
I think I'm going with Kansas City on this one. And yeah. It'd be a close game, probably be like 30-28.
30-28.
For Kansas City.
Going with the high scoring game, eh? I like that. I like that. That'll definitely keep me glued to the screen if it's high scoring like that.
Because you think, like, with Tom Brady and Mahomes going back and forth, I think it'd be...
It's going to be a shootout, right?
Yeah. Who has a better arm?
Oh, yeah. The old man or the young gun?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm definitely got a good storyline to it. I'm going to go... I want Tampa to win just so that... they win the game, all the fans go crazy, and they all party together and in Florida, where everybody kind of thinks everyone from Florida is crazy and doesn't believe in COVID, and we get to see Tampa kind of pop off. I think that'd be really, really cool.
And like they have another championship with Tampa Bay Lightning. And
yeah, the next city of champ, eh?
Yeah.
And the Rays had a good season recently, didn't they?
I think decent. I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty. Did they play in the World Series? No.
No, I don't think so.
No, maybe it was close, but I know Burnsy would know that. Sorry, everyone.
As did you hear? Montreal wants a baseball team.
Oh, I kind of heard that things were looking like they would get Tampa for. Half a season or something like that in the near future.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, they want a hockey team.
That'd be cool. Oh. Nice. Nice one. I mean, Ottawa beat Montreal the other night, so hey.
Yeah.
I guess you can talk a little bit of smack.
But they lost to them
tonight. Ottawa gets their second win of the year, and you're already planning the parade. Oh, that's funny. That Canadian division's tight this year, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's the thing with the North Division or Canadian Division. It's tough. Like, east to west, west to east. And no COVID up here yet among the teams. Or it's very minimal compared to down to the States where they're canceling games or postponing games. And
Yeah, it's happened quite a lot. And almost, I think every division has seen it this so far except for the Canadian division. I don't know if what kind of PCR tests the States are using. Like, maybe ours aren't working. Who knows? But it's been nice to see games every night going here in Canada. For whatever reason, they're not working out in the States. It sounds like everybody, at least that's had it, has been able to recover and everyone's been okay. But something's different in Canada. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's luck. Who knows if things are just different south of the border. But that Canadian division has sure been entertaining. And I believe, you'll be releasing this episode tomorrow or later, but the Battle of Alberta is, I believe, ongoing right now. Yes. So as soon as I end this episode, I'll be tuning into that game.
And you see where Stockton Heat, the farm team of the Flames, is going to play with Calgary. So they're going to be the Stockton Heat, the Manitoba Moose, Lavelle Rocket, Toronto Marlies, and the Belleville Senators are going to be playing.
The five-team Canadian division, right?
Yeah. So they haven't released that schedule for those five teams yet, so...
Yeah, the other teams have started, have they?
Yes, they have. I think they started tonight or last night.
Yeah, and then there's that poor, I think it's like Bridgeport and Providence. I know we talked about that already, I think, two episodes ago. But, those division setups, it definitely makes it hard for, I couldn't imagine playing a team, what's the season, like 24 games? You're playing two teams 12 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's got to get exhausting.
Right. Yeah, so. Well, once everything goes back to normal, they can make it easier for scheduling and you go back to your rivalry, like spread out the games more and like different teams.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that and then eventually get fans in the building as well. But you know what? And one thing that I don't mind is when they do these little two-game series, like these sets, like maybe three or four games is a little too much, you know what I mean? But I kind of like that, you bring in the Flames for a weekend and you play like a Friday, Sunday or something like that. Like, you get a real chance to establish some rivalries where you might not have had the chance before. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep the – just to kind of minimize travel, you know?
Yeah, say if you play a team five times, you have like two sets of back to back games. You know, two here, two there, and then the toss up game.
Yeah,
and that goes back way. That real exactly. piece over here.
I always find it weird. I always found it weird. I know, I agree, and I always found it weird how the Jets would play like, say they'd have like a 6-game homestand. And then they'd fly down to Chicago, play a game, and then come back and play two more games at home. Like, I always found that kind of strange. Yeah. Like, why not stay for a couple days, play a few games, you know, save your air miles, and then go back?
They have Minnesota up here for two games, and they have, Chicago here for two games. And then fly out to Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, play them twice.
Exactly, man. Yeah. So, I would say that would probably be a little bit better. So maybe they'll learn a few things from doing it this way.
Yeah, so who knows? We have to put the phone call in to Gary Bettman.
Yeah, I'll have my people talk to your people and we'll set something up with Mr. Bettman there and we'll see if we can have our voices heard.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Briggsy.
And thanks a lot, bud.
Thanks for the convo. So drive safely. Always.
Yeah, not going anywhere tonight. I'm going to be tuning into that Battle of Alberta right away, so looking forward to it. You have yourself a great night, and what do you always say?
Drive safely, and have a great night.
Yeah, keep your stick on the ice.
And chin up.
Chin up, that's right. Stay off the trolley tracks.
Yeah. You don't want another Dustin Byfuglien on the Mark Stone.
No, definitely not. Yeah, keep your head up, kids.
Okay. Have a good night.
Beautiful.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at Podcast Front Row and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.